This is Cole Fusion Muse. I want to talk to you a little bit about working with a sales staff today. Stop me if you've heard this one. Project manager and a sales manager are headed to a big meeting and discover they're lost. Project manager says, "Hey, we're lost." Sales manager says, "Yeah, but we're making great time." That's an old saw, and I'm sure you've heard it a dozen times. But working with sales is a difficult challenge. And if you're in a position where salespeople gather requirements, make sales, give you the requirements, and you have to produce the deliverables, you know exactly what I mean. Information technology and tech teams and project people and sales, they all speak different languages. There's a disconnect between what's talked about with the customer, between the salesman and the customer, and what's needed by the tech team to finish a project. And there's often even animosity that exists between the two departments or the two branches of the company. So there's certainly things we could talk about that IT professionals could do, or do that contribute to the problem. But today I'd like to talk about one aspect of the sales staff that can make or break a small company like ours, and that is the OPUB syndrome. OPUB stands for overpromise, underbid. Some of you are already laughing because you know exactly what I mean. Sales staff tend to overpromise when it comes to their discussions with customers, and underbid when it comes to estimating the cost of a project to make it something that's profitable for you. So let's talk about those two things. First, overpromise. What do I mean by overpromise? Well, in discussions with the customers, sales staff, in their pitch, they tend to pump up the features, and sometimes they tend to pump up features that are non-existent. They're listening with their ear for certain features that seem important to the customer, and sometimes they're pitching features that don't even exist yet or are complete vaporware. They use words like easy, straightforward, simple, yes we can do that, yes we can, yes we can. They fail to issue warnings and cautions. They don't offer caveats. They don't refer back to the spec. They don't say things like, well, that's out of scope for the current proposal. They tend to have a can-do attitude. That's not all bad. Okay, but what it does tend to do is build customer expectations to a level that are unrealistic. And the final thing they do when they overpromise is they often cut the timeline in a way that's unrealistic by a third, by half, for various reasons. We're going to talk about that in a moment. So, if you're in position where the staff, sales staff, builds requirements, you're tasked with bringing the product to fruition, and there's no handoff, and sales continues to manage the review process, you'll find that sales is largely responsible for scope creep and other issues because of this overpromise issue. Why? Why do sales staff, in my estimation, tend to overpromise? Well, a couple reasons for that, and I want to give you my take on it. One reason is that selling a project is not enough like selling a car. With a car, you have a base model plus options. You have, the car, and then you add a CD player, DVD player, chrome wheels, the little fin on the back because you want to be sporty like your friends, and all of that stuff. So when somebody's out to buy a car, the salesman says, okay, here's how much the base model costs, here's how much it is with the options you want, and here's the final price. Easy, right? You don't have people saying to the car salesman, okay, that's great. I like the price. However, I just want you to do one thing for me. I want you to take the CD player and install it into the front grille of the car. And while you're at it, let's take all the tires and put them all on the left side because I like that better. And also, the steering wheel is too complicated for the people who are going to drive this car. I'd like it to come with a joystick instead. It's funny, right? But project requirements are more like the latter example than they are like the former example. Salespeople come at projects in terms of that former model. It's a base product, and then we're going to add options to it. Each option takes you an additional X, Y, or Z. But the plug-in process of adding features to a project is not the same as adding options to a car. And that disconnect is what causes some of the issues with overpromising. Another reason sales folks probably overpromise is the mentality of a salesman is that of an evangelist. His job I don't know if you've ever been to an evangelical church, or I grew up in Southern Pentecostal type churches, and in our little world, we had the evangelists that would come to town, and our job was to bring sinners to church, and the evangelist's job was to pump up the message of Jesus and get them down to the altar to, as it were, sign in the bottom line, give their life to Christ, right? So the salesman is the evangelist. He's the closer. His mentality is the thrill of the chase. He wants to find that customer. He wants to bring him in by hook or by crook and get him to sign on the bottom line. Whereas the project manager, the tech team, their role is that of the local pastor, the local church. Their role is to marry and bury and visit in the hospital and be there with the family when they're going through difficulties and so on. So they're more hands-on and they're more iterative, whereas the salesperson is more cathartic. His job is to get him to that one spot, sign on the dotted line, and then he feels like, he or she feels like their job is done. And the final reason I had written down for overpromising is, and this is really the fault of IT people, I think, as much as it is the fault of salespeople, that there's simply not enough knowledge transfer that goes on between sales and IT when it comes to projects. It's very, very important for sales to be acclimated to the world of IT, to have the knowledge they need to discuss a project, not just with a customer in terms of their vision, but also with the team in terms of what's needed to get it done. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. Not only do sales folks tend to overpromise, but they also often underbid. I like to say that salespeople are consistently inconsistent when it comes to bidding. Very often, an experienced sales folks end up selling the farm because they don't have a cost estimating structure that allows them to be realistic about what it takes to get a project done. There is a several reasons for that, and here's three, and I'm sure you can come up with more. But one is that they're disconnected from the initial requirements. They may build the requirements, but when it comes to estimating, they don't go to the requirements, break it down into pieces, think about hourly costs for each one, and then estimate. I have a great blog on our process for cost estimating, and I would encourage you to read it. If you go to Cold Fusion Muse and search for cost estimate in the little search box, after you click on all my Google ads, you'll see it at the top of the list there. So, but there's that disconnect. There's not a breakdown. There's usually a ballpark kind of a thing, and there's usually kind of a ballpark approach to this is how much this project is going to cost, and it's not really based on anything quantitative that's broken down into components. If you have 20 components and each one is going to cost you 20 hours, if you make a mistake and one of those components costs you 40 hours and another component costs you 10 hours, then you're in deficit by 10 hours. Okay? But if you make a mistake on the whole project, that's much harder to recover from. It's very important to break down projects before you do cost estimating. That's my take on it. Second reason that salespeople tend to underbid is they consistently fail to include adequate time for feedback and revision. This is one of those areas where knowledge transfer, again, as we discussed earlier, is important. Here's a tip for all salespeople that all IT people should tell them like a mantra. No project that's successfully completed ever meets the spec. No project successfully completed ever meets the spec. But put it in religious overtones. All projects have sinned and fallen short of the initial requirements. And that is the truth. The final product will only satisfy the customer after some level of revision. How much revision? Well, that's a good indicator of how good your requirements were to begin with. But some level of revision, I can promise you, will be required for your project to reach a satisfying conclusion for everyone involved. And that revision process, that feedback and revision process, that needs to be included as a part of the cost of finishing a project successfully. And speaking of feedback, this is a point that needs to be made as well. Feedback from the stakeholders to the project team, to the sales staff. That's the lifeblood of a successful project. A project is not a set of rules that are discreetly defined. A project tends to be a vision that's kind of locked inside of your stakeholders. It's a set of behaviors and things that they want to see come out in this product, in this deliverable. And they're trying to describe them to you, but because they don't have the technical language in many cases to describe them adequately, it's often something that you have to tease out of them. And in many cases, you have to have a base product. You have to have something that's built first that you're then going to revise, that you're then going to tweak in order to get it to where the customer saw it to begin with but weren't able to describe it. And if you've done your homework and your initial requirements are good and that knowledge transfer is taking place, then tweaking is all you're going to need. If you haven't done your homework and your initial requirements weren't good, then you're going to end up in a major revision phase. It's going to extend the budget, and you're going to have some people that are dissatisfied rather than satisfied. So that's very important. Include time in the bid. Get your salespeople to include time in the bid for feedback and revision and for testing. Salespeople notoriously forget to add a percentage value to a project for testing. Sometimes if a project is very complex, if a project requires disparate elements, if you have J2EE platform working with a proprietary database and a .NET component, through web services and N-tiered and all of that, you're going to end up with 30, 40, 50% of your time is going to be testing, debugging, testing, debugging. And that needs to be a part of that project plan. If it's not, you're going to be over budget, and it's going to be way too easy to have a bunch of dissatisfied stakeholders who wonder, how did this project go over budget by 30%? All right, so that's the syndrome. Over-promise, under-bid. Now, what happens when the sales staff overpromises when they underbid? What's the result? Even under the best of circumstances, this syndrome results in what I call the bad handoff. At some point, there's a handoff. The sales staff sells the project. They go through this process, yada, 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 and then they deliver the initial requirements to you, which you're going to revise, and they say, okay, this is up to you to deliver. Here's the budget. Here's the project. It's at that point that sometimes the tone, the tenor of the entire project changes, because your first job is going to be, you're going to have to go to the stakeholders, the customers, and you're going to have to gather some information on your own. You're going to have some contact with them, and what's going to happen is the optimistic tone that the salesman set when he, pitch them on this whole project is going to change just a little bit. You're going to hem and haw a little bit, about the timeline. You're going to indicate that features that were promised are now challenging instead of straightforward. If you could see me, I'm doing that little quotation thing with my fingers. You're going to say that you will make your best effort to produce a beta version by the target date instead of saying your project will be ready on. The whole tone of the conversation, it can be changed to be less optimistic, and the customer then can wonder what happened, how did the project go south? Well, that's not what has happened at all. What has happened is it's now time to do the work of the project, and reality is setting in. And because the sales staff isn't properly educated how to sell and how to manage a project like this, how to bring it to a tech team, and how to present the appropriate caveats and the appropriate addendums, the stakeholder feels blindsided, feels ambushed. So, all right, that's a whole lot of problem issues. Now let's talk about some of the solutions. Here's my four tips. All right, number one, early involvement of IT in the requirements process. Do not let your sales staff complete requirements all on their own and just simply deliver them to you. Make sure that IT, that tech teams that at least have the potential of completing the project, are involved in reviewing the cost estimating, that are involved in reviewing the timeline. Make sure that there's no ballparking going on. If you're a sales manager, never, ever, 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 ever let your sales staff throw out a number in a meeting with a customer without some form of documentation. I have never seen ballparking become an effective solution in a situation like this. There will always be issues. There will always be things that you haven't thought of. And you will need to have a quantitative way of estimating. Again, go to my blog, check out the cost estimating blog post, and add your own comments if you like there. But find a way, whatever the way is, it doesn't have to be my method, but whatever the way is, find a way to quantitatively estimate how many hours a particular project will take and make sure that you have adequate resources to cover, both budgetary and timeline resources to cover those hours before you sign on the dotted line. So that's the first thing. Get IT involved early in the process, in the estimating and in the requirements building process. Second thing is build bridges to sales during testing. Something you might not think of, and this, you know, having sales be involved during testing doesn't affect the current project, the one that may be already lost, but it will help the next project that sales goes to bid on, okay? So my advice is expose your testing and your QA procedures to the sales staff. Expose the revision process to them. Invite them to some of those revision meetings. Let them in on some of the emails between the project team members. Help them to see exactly what goes in to actually getting a project done successfully. And that might be a challenge because sales may resist. It might seem like a waste of time. It might seem like not on point for what they're hired to do. So you might get some resistance from them. But it is important to get them involved in that process. And along with that, number three tip is adequate knowledge transfer. And considering other points, I guess this goes without saying, but you need to patiently attempt to educate salespeople on the process of completing a software project successfully. Remind them, 40% of software projects fail. 40% of software projects are abandoned at some point halfway or three-quarters of the way through or even at the end. They're abandoned, and those products are never used. It's not an easy task to bring a project through successfully, and there's a lot to it, and you need to help educate them on that. Make team members, I'm talking about your team members, your IT team members, available to answer questions. And this is where the resistance isn't on the sales side. Sometimes the resistance here is on the team side. I don't have time to answer, questions from sales people. Remind your tech team that an educated salesperson is going to give them a much better requirements document, and it's going to make their job a lot easier. So make your team members available. Don't allow them to hoard information. Get it out there. Get that cross-pollination going so that your salespeople will become more effective at building requirements. And the final thing, and this is on point, but it's a little bit of a different tip, and it goes to hiring people. If you're someone who's involved in the hiring of people, like myself as an owner, you want to hire different kinds of salespeople than typical. Just because somebody has sold shrink wrap software or hardware, it does not make them a good salesman. A good salesman for projects is not the same as a car salesman, as we talked about. A good salesman for projects is going to have some of these four characteristics. Number one, some background inside of a project. Okay, and I don't know if that's QA or scheduling or writing or something, anything inside of the inner workings of a project. If you're a salesperson, even for a year, has participated in some way in projects, then that's going to be a positive for them. If hire somebody, number two, with technical imagination. It's the same qualities you look for in a developer. Okay, somebody who is curious enough to wonder how something works, to imagine various scenarios to solve a particular problem. Somebody who is always looking into what it takes to get something done. Somebody with technical imagination. Number three, somebody who is knowledge-oriented. Now, being knowledge-oriented, this is a tricky one. because often it's confused with people who are ambitious. People who are ambitious are driven to gather knowledge, but it's knowledge for the sake of power. It's knowledge that helps them climb the ladder, do their job, be better at closing, you know, whatever. Ambition is not a bad thing in a salesperson. Ambition is a good, in a typical salesman, it drives them, it makes them thick-skinned, it makes them, you know, lean forward, it makes them always going forward and always moving to get that person to the altar. And that's a good thing, that ambition. Okay, but in a project salesman, it can be a negative if they're not knowledge-oriented. A knowledge-oriented person means it's somebody who enjoys learning something new just for its own sake, because it's something new. For whom knowledge is a little bit like a drug. They're always curious. They have an inquisitive intellect. And they're looking to gather information because they enjoy absorbing new information. Knowledge-oriented people are important in project sales because knowledge-oriented people have a harder time promising the moon. They're not going to pitch things as easily, as readily, as the typical ambitious salesperson is going to do. They're going to be more apt to listen, to listen and look for opportunities to meet customer need. They're going to be more apt to walk around the car and kick the tires with the customer instead of simply pitch the customer on all the benefits of owning the car. So that's a very important quality, that knowledge orientation, that intellectual honesty, the ability to say, I don't know if my proposed solution actually meets this need. Why don't you tell me more about your need and let me see? You know, that's an important quality to have in a project salesman. And the final, number four, the final tip, and it kind of goes along with what I just said, is customer needs oriented. Your project salesman must be focused on what does my customer need and how can we satisfy that need. A salesman or a woman, every salesman or a saleswoman says they're customer oriented. They all say that. Okay, but someone selling a project proposal absolutely has to be focused on what does the customer need. An ambitious salesman who is not customer oriented will, in their head, will have a list of pat answers to every question that gets asked, and all of his pat answers are going to be how my product, how my proposed solution fits your need. That's going to be their answer. Like I call them shoehorn salesmen. Like the guy, you know, like the salesman, he's got the lady comes in and wants a particular style of shoe. He's only got one size left, so he pulls out his shoehorn, and he's going to make that foot fit in that shoe to make that sale. That's the goal, to get the foot to fit. Okay, now, that's not what you want. You want somebody who listens. You want somebody who can feed back to the customer. This is what I hear you saying that you need. Am I on point? Can you give me any more information? That's the sort of thing you need. So there's obviously a lot more to be said on the subject, and perhaps I'll do another blog sooner or later about how IT can improve relations with sales. But in the meantime, this is Cool Fusion Muse signing off. Thanks for listening.